Please take your Bibles and turn in them with me to Matthew 20, beginning at verse 25. This is found on page 1049 in the Pew Bibles, Matthew 20. Matthew 20, beginning at verse 25. People of God, hear now the very words of God. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Then let us turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. This is found on page 1296 in the Pew Bibles. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. We'll read through verse 11, but we're going to focus on verse 10 this evening. 1 Peter 4, beginning at verse 7, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And our focus is on verse 10, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." Congregation, we hear the word serve, servant, serving. What do we think of that word, of that call to serve? Generally, we have a noble idea of that. But we wouldn't all the time want to be the one to serve. We think it's good in general, but let's admit, often we're slow to do it. It's a work of God's grace that we turn from the general noble good idea of serving into something we personally, consistently do. Thankfully, this is part of God's renewing us, changing us, which we see in our first Peter passage this evening. As I proclaim to you, God has graciously given us gifts to serve others. God has graciously given us gifts to serve others. And first we consider, you've received a gift. You've received a gift. It seems that perhaps 100, 200 years ago, life was simpler. Oh, it was hard. It was a hard life. But it was simple. People did not have as much stuff, but they often pulled together as a community. They made do. They helped each other. We don't hear, and we don't read in the books of often the many troubles we see around, in terms of drugs and such open violence. In today's society, there are many problems that seem others didn't have to deal with, and there's certainly not the simplicity. Think of simplicity. If someone tries to do something, why, you can go on the internet and you can find where someone else can do it better, bigger, and better. In fact, why do something if you can't be the best at it? Why not try to get the best rather than settling? Go big or go home, we're told. Now we always want to do our best. We always want to be improving. But the devil in our own flesh tempts us to make excuses to be inactive, to make the excuse, well, I'm not as good as someone else. I might as well not do it. I can't go big. I may as well go home. Maybe you've seen that in your own life. You know of people who excel at something or or other. They have some gift, and they are good. You look at your own life, and maybe you wonder, what am I good at? I don't have a gift like she does. I don't think I can ever be as good at that as he is. And children, maybe your brother or sister, maybe they're good at everything, and you're not. You have a hard time. That can be discouraging. In these situations, maybe you're tempted then to turn inward, tempted to not reach out. After all, you can't change the world. I can't do it. I don't have that ability. If I tried, I'd probably be made fun of. I'd fail. I know I would. Again, we don't want to discourage honing and improving, working hard, but we want to recognize, as we read in the first part of verse 10, as each has received a gift. God has blessed you and me. Now, children, when we read here about receiving a gift, we aren't talking about a present around a birthday. That's not the type of gift we're talking about, but it is similar that God gives us gifts. God gives us abilities. We can do certain things. He gives opportunities in your life to help someone to be of use. We read in the previous verse, verse 9, about showing hospitality. We read in the next verse, verse 11, about speaking and about serving. Think of those, hospitality. Now, it's a command. There's also an aspect of gift to it. Hospitality is loving those who are strangers to us, but also because the apostle in verse 9 wrote about showing hospitality to one another, it's also loving those whom we know, but perhaps don't have as much interaction or who are in need. Hospitality is giving of our money, our food, our housing, our transportation, our resources, our time to help those who lack that particular thing. God has put them in your path, right then, right there. And you can meet a need they have. I give thanks that there are so many here in this congregation that are extending hospitality to those who are serving a task. Be encouraged. That is God's work in our midst. Showing hospitality. But also speaking. The apostle speaks of that as a gift. Now, some are better at speaking than others, but almost all of us can speak. That's a gift. Children, think about it. You have a pet. They don't speak. They might bark, might meow. Fish, they don't do anything. Trees, rocks. Trees might blow in the wind, but they don't speak. Rocks certainly don't. But you and I can. You might be 2 years old, and yet you can speak. That's a gift from God. Speaking is giving expression to something with words in our culture. It could be writing. It could be texting. It could be emailing. It could be some form of communication. It could come across on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube. Those can be good, used for good. You could do it around the kitchen table, on a park bench, in the school hallway, in a hospital room, at a graveside. Sometimes what we speak, it's mean, isn't it? It's selfish, it's arrogant, it's stupid. Sometimes by God's grace, when we speak, it's kind, it's caring, it's humble, it's wise. The gift of speech, that is given to almost everyone here. Speaking is a gift. Don't ignore it. Don't neglect it. Don't think it isn't. This gift of speaking. Serving, verse 11 again, serving also is a gift we have received. Many people in our culture don't consider serving to be a gift. They think perhaps a gift is to draw attention, money, praise, fans to the one who has that gift, but serving doesn't do that. While those who are here on task and those who are helping out with task, we hope you have an enjoyable time. Don't want to have a bad time here. The focus isn't on our pleasures, is it? But on helping others. We think about serving being a gift. By nature, we don't serve others. By nature, we want to be served. Even if outwardly someone does something for someone else, there's often a self-serving motive alongside it. True serving, though, is being directed towards someone else. It's meeting someone else's need. taskers. There are many opportunities in this week to meet these needs. But you don't just have to go on a trip. It's serving in the nursery. It's preparing a meal. It's changing a tire. It's building a house. The apostle using the word serve later in this verse, verse 10, in a general way that doesn't undo the specific way he uses it as a gift in verse 11. Now, if showing hospitality, but especially if speaking and serving, if those are gifts, it shows us God has given us many gifts. Now, some are natural, and some are only for the regenerate, for Christians. But God gives gifts. He has given gifts to you, to me, here. God has blessed us. Now notice that the apostle didn't write there, as each has received a fantastic measure of a fantastic gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards. No, he wrote, as each has received a gift. You've received a gift. It might not be as refined or developed or wow as someone else's gift. It might not be noticed or appreciated or valued by others as someone else's gift. In fact, it might not be all that noticed by you right now. But you've received a gift, many gifts. A part of what the task group will be looking into this week is from the second chapter of this same epistle, 1 Peter 2, that our identity is not determined by those around us, but by God. That is who we are, and our idea of who we are isn't determined, isn't to be defined by the world around us, but by God. So it is with the gifts we've received. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter what the world values, what the world praises, or how it values. You've each received a gift. God has given you something wonderful. The God of the universe has come to you and me, frail creatures, even sinners, and he's given us gifts. Notice, we don't come up with these on our own. We receive, as each has received a gift. They are from God. Now, we are responsible to develop our gifts, to discover new ones. Those on task, maybe you'll discover new ones this week. Maybe you'll develop ones you've had. Children, as you go to school again in the fall, you'll be developing your mind. You'll be developing your talents. That's good. But not one gift arises from ourselves, from our own body, soul, spirit, heart, mind, whatever segment of us you consider. All that we are, all that we have is from God. He's our creator. We have received. And all that we have spiritually is from God. He's our recreator in Christ by the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, you have received gifts, several gifts from God. You are not your own. You are not God. You belong to someone else, and you were created by someone else, and you were gifted, equipped. You have received from someone else. Don't forget that. Because as we forget that, or as we live without remembering that, we act as though the gifts we've received to serve us, that those are things we've accomplished, we've attained, to be praised by others, perhaps even to be praised by God. You've received a gift, as each has received a gift. We read that. But there's more here in this verse. When we turn to that in our second point, we are to use these gifts. We are to use the gift to serve. Use it to serve. Now, children, think to your birthday, or perhaps if your family hands out presents on Christmas, you think those presents are for you to enjoy. And perhaps you've received birthday money from a relative, and maybe he or she has said, spend it on something you want. Now, that's not necessarily wrong. We're not saying that. But that's different than what we're talking about here. God has given you a gift, each of us a gift. How are we to use these gifts? Well, Peter tells us plainly, inspired by the Spirit, use it to serve one another. And what a blessing to see many here desire to serve those on task and also those on task who desire to serve. Again, God is at work in us. May he be praised, be encouraged. But God has given you many things. These things are for our good, but God doesn't want us to stop there. He wants us to look beyond ourselves. This serving, as we mentioned, is more general than the gift of serving in verse 11. But Peter is clear, it is one another. Serve one another, not ourselves. Especially though it seems because Peter is writing to the saints, that is, to the church, he has in mind serving other Christians. And we're not saying we shouldn't help non-Christians, we're not saying that, but what he's writing of here is serving those in the church, one another. We're individuals, we're separate households, but we're not disconnected. By faith, we are joined. We're joined to Christ, and therefore we're joined to one another. And God gives you gifts to serve one another. That phrase that Peter uses, use it to serve. In the Greek language that Peter used, that Peter wrote, it's from the same root word that's translated ministry elsewhere. For instance, Ephesians 4 verse 12. It's the same root word from which we get the word or the office of deacon. It's what Christ said of himself. What we read from Matthew 20 verse 28. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. What does it mean then to serve, one another? Well, since we read from Matthew 20, Jesus points us to himself. Consider the example of Christ. And we think here, Peter says we have received a gift. We are empty, but Christ was full. And he emptied himself. He took the form of a servant. He who was rich, for our sake he became poor, so that by his poverty we might become rich. He blessed us with his serving. All of his life he served. Jesus served. He spoke. He taught truth about God, about ourselves. He served. He worked mighty miracles. He had compassion on people in their distress. All this Jesus did and more, for as he said, he came to offer himself as a ransom. He suffered on Golgotha's cross. He suffered and he died in order to do what only Jesus could do, only what the Son of God could do, pay for the sin of his people. Reconcile us to the holy God. That's the depth of Christ's service on your behalf, on my behalf. On the third day, God raised Jesus from the dead. And after that, he poured out the Spirit of Christ on the church, bringing the riches of Jesus, these gifts, so that we would go into all the world making disciples, serving one another. Using gifts to serve imitates Jesus. Jesus was active in who he was, what he had to help others. We use gifts, by God's grace, to help others, others in need. Others don't have all that's needed. What is this need? Well, sometimes it's food. Taskers hope to experience that this week in serving at a homeless shelter. Sometimes it's shelter. Again, this week, helping to fix up different homes. Sometimes it's encouragement. Sometimes it's hearing the gospel to be refocused on God's grace in Christ. Again, the taskers will have an opportunity to put together literature to send to the farthest reaches of this earth, good Christian literature, Bibles mostly. Sometimes it's companionship. They'll have a lot of opportunity for that amongst themselves in this coming week. Sometimes it's an extra hand. Sometimes it's knowledge, wisdom. We can go on. It's not just for them, it's for us all. Think to the three things we've already talked about showing hospitality, about speaking, about serving. Serving looks to where the needs are and how God has given us to meet at least part of those needs. All of us have needs. All of us have needs because none of us is God. God alone has zero needs. God made you to have needs. Needs that God fulfills ordinarily through the work and service of other people. People to whom God has given gifts that meet those needs. We are to serve one another. And children, think even we've already had the offering this evening of giving in the offering plate. And maybe your parents give you money to put in the plate. Well, you don't hold on to that money your parents give you, do you? Better not. The plate goes by and you hand it in, right? So it is to be with all our gifts. All that God has given us. You and I are to serve one another. Don't hold these gifts to yourself. Don't use these gifts only to make yourself comfortable, satisfied, happy in an earthly way. Because we are to serve one another, don't use these gifts only to serve your earthly family. Have an eye on the congregation. Have an eye on your spiritual family. But we think of the family. Husbands, think of that in terms of your calling as husband and father. While you are to help disciple your wife and children in using their gifts to serve others, you're not to sit back and think they exist to serve you. You are to have the perspective of how you can serve them and others. Serve them as husband, serve as father. That's what Jesus himself did. And so too, wives, with you, you've been given wonderful gifts. You'd be of great service to your husband and children. Listen to God's word. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Husbands, don't ask, well, what has my wife done for me lately? Ask, God, what have you given me that I can use to serve her, to bless her? The message we receive from the world, from our own flesh, certainly from the devil, is to indulge ourselves. Take what you've earned, what you've acquired, or what you've gotten by your wiles, or what the government has handed out, and treat yourself. Have a little me time. You deserve it. Now, of course, true refreshment. We need that at times. But our society's message goes far beyond that. The world says, amass money, toys, land, so forth, so you can consume them, have earthly fun. Regarding husband and wife, the world gives the message, give only as the other gives to you. The message of the world is wrong. God's word is clear. It is true. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. There's no conditions there. Only if they serve you in return. We don't read that. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. And what a blessing, those who are here and tasked, you're seeking to serve. That's why you're here. To serve in specific ways, not just to have an experience. Now, part of the challenge is to serve when you're not here anymore, when you go back home, when you're back in the day-to-day, the ruts of life, when the work isn't as organized, when it's more mundane, when it's ordinary. Serve then, serve there, by God's grace. Use the gifts you've received from God, to serve one another there. Which leads to how we are to do this as stewards of God's grace. And that moves to our third point. As a steward of God's grace. Now we've received gifts. We haven't generated them. We haven't created the talents, the gifts we have. We've received them as gifts from God, who's the ultimate source of all good. God's given to you personally, directly, purposefully, each and every gift you have. And God gave us these gifts with the purpose and the command to use them to serve one another. Now Peter gives us the mindset. As good stewards of God's varied grace. A steward. A steward is one who manages someone else's things. A steward has authority over something to use it as he sees fit, but he's responsible to use it according to what the owner has told him, or rules, or guidelines, purposes, plans for the benefit. A steward is to be active in using what's under his care. Brothers and sisters, boys and girls, you are stewards. Each one of us. And we need to remember that. Each dollar you own is from God and is to be used for His glory and His kingdom. Every minute of your life, every breath, every ounce of strength, every capability of your mind, These are all from God, what we have received, to be used for His glory, His kingdom. You are a steward. The children, think of that. Every toy you have, every book, every tool is to be used for God's glory. They're ultimately God's. So too, children, with your minutes, your breath, your strength, your mind, we think of school coming up. You're a steward of all that because you're God's child. He's declared you to be His child. He has shown that and sealed that to you in baptism. You are a steward then of all these things. As we confess in the first question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism, I am not my own, but belong body and soul and life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. You're a steward of God. When we put money in the offering plate, it's not as though we're gifting something to God. It's not as though we're giving the 10% that it's God's back to Him, only the 10%. It's all God's. Every cent. We're placing these coins, the dollar bills, that check into the offering plate with prayerful consideration that the cause the deacons present to the congregation, that that's where we should put God's money toward. You might give more, you might give less, but it isn't your money. Never was, never will be. It's all God's. We're stewards. We've received. And the Spirit of Christ fills us, renews us, transforms us into the image of Christ so that we are to have the mind of Christ, to seek to carry on the work of Christ, not in terms of atoning for sin. Jesus did that once for all on Golgotha's cross. But similar to how Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come," we've seen just a couple weeks ago. The Spirit of Christ dwells in us, changing us to act as the body of Christ. Children, think of your own body. You think of moving your hand, and it moves, ordinarily. The same Spirit, so to speak, that's in your mind is in your hand. Your mind tells your hand to move. They're linked. They're in agreement. So it is to be with us. We are joined to Christ by the Spirit through faith. As Jesus desires us to move, so we are to move. Jesus' Spirit fills us and directs us according to Jesus' Word, the Bible. Not some mystical experience, not a feeling we wait for, some voice in our minds, but by His Word and Spirit, He directs us. Here, you, steward, do this. You are my body. That's how you know how to act. It's the path along how the Spirit empowers you to act. You're a steward. And you are to use the gifts you have received from God to serve one another. Now, here's the amazing thing. As Peter says, as good stewards of God's varied grace. A steward of God's grace. Now, by varied, he means God distributes His grace in various ways, various measures. We're not talking about salvation in terms of, well, one's almost saved and one's not saved. No. Talk about these gifts. And there's diversity in these gifts. Christ possesses the Spirit in fullness. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. He possesses the Spirit in fullness, but He apportions the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit as He sees fit. Some to one person, more to another, a little less here. This ties in with the different gifts that different people receive, speaking, serving. Not every Christian is exactly the same in terms of giftedness, but we are all stewards of God's grace. I'll go back that he says we're stewards of His grace. That's amazing. You, believer, old, young, male, female, office bearer or not, you are a steward of God's grace. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean we're saviors, individually or collectively, all together. God's grace is His favor to sinners. God's grace, God's favor is something we don't deserve. In fact, we deserve the opposite. In our first father, Adam, he sinned. We've all personally added our own sins. And God's angry with sinners, justly, rightly angry with sinners, so that God's wrath is upon us by nature. You and I, what do we deserve but eternal torment because of our sin? But God shows grace. Out of his love, he sent his son. Jesus took upon himself not only our obligation to love God perfectly, but the obligation to suffer for sin. And Jesus, although perfectly righteous, chose to suffer and die for us, for great sinners. That's great grace. God's grace to send his beloved Son. Christ's grace to suffer and die for us. Jesus has brought righteousness and life for all who believe. That's God's grace. Trust him always. Trust him in his grace. Righteousness and life, all good things come from God's grace. Being able to speak, especially to speak of God's love in Christ, being able to speak is a gift of God's grace. Being able to serve, to meet the needs of others, that's a gift of God's grace. All that you are is a gift from God, something you've received from God that you and I, we don't deserve one bit. And you and I deserve the opposite. God gives grace. Grace to use these things responsibly for his glory and the good of our neighbor. What a blessing. What a joy to receive God's grace in this way and to be a steward of God's grace. To tell others, to serve others, to bless others. May those who show hospitality to those on task, may you be blessed as you bless. Those on task, as you serve, as you are a steward of God's varied grace, may you be blessed as you bless. People of God, you have a meaning. You have purpose. You have a role. You have a place in God's world, in God's plan, in God's grace. In so many parts of our society, there is hopelessness, meaninglessness. It's not for you or me. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up hope. There is meaning. Believer, God showers his grace on you, and he uses you in his being gracious to others. See with the eyes of faith. Trust him in his purposes. By God's grace, seek to be used by God. God has graciously given us gifts to serve others. Serve. Be blessed. Be a blessing. And may God receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have given us everything. Out of your grace you have given us. And you have remade us in Christ. So we would not consume these blessings on our own lusts, but to glorify you, to serve one another. Lord, we are slow. Our faith is weak. And at times, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Strengthen our faith. Strengthen our bodies. Strengthen us, that in all of life we would use the gifts you've given to serve one another as stewards of your varied grace, always pointing not to ourselves, but to Jesus. And when others ask us why we're doing this, Lord, give us the boldness then and the clarity of mind to remember, to speak, that Christ came to serve. He served us. He was a ransom for us. He's poured out his grace on us. And here now we are to serve them. Use us, O Lord. Use these taskers. Use us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.